So good evening, everyone. We are set for our 4:45 meeting. Lisa, I'd like you to read the script for the meeting, please.
Yes, welcome everyone. If you lose connection at any time, reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use the raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. Staff, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you are asked a question. For members of the public, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair, and please do not use your video. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Could you do roll call of commissioners, please?
Yes, Commissioner Claude Gilmore.
Present.
Gilmore present. Commissioner Dwayne Gray.
Present.
Gray present. Commissioner Greg Reed.
Present.
Reed present. Commissioner Madeline O'Connor.
Present.
O'Connor present. Commissioner Mary Strickland.
Present.
Strickland present. Alder Isidore Knox.
Present.
Knox present. And Alder Tag Evers is has to attend a different committee meeting, so he is excused absent from this meeting. Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to get a motion and a second for approval of the minutes from our October 10th meeting.
So move.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Gray, second.
It has been moved and seconded that the minutes from our October 10th meeting will be approved, and we will consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objections. Hearing none, motion approved. Are there any public comments?
There are no members of the public registered to speak,
Okay.
although we do have presenters.
We do have presenters. Okay. And at this time, are there any communications?
Just wanted to let everyone know that this is your last meeting with Larry Kilmer in attendance because Larry has taken a position with the city of Milwaukee and will be leaving the city of Madison and the CDA as of this Friday.
Well, Larry, we will miss you. And congratulate again on your appointment and return to Milwaukee.
Thank you very much. It's been great working with you all, and I know we've all kind of engaged in different capacities over the last number of years, but it's been fantastic. So thank you all.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Well,
Double
thank you.
congratulations, Mr. Kilmer. Double congratulations.
And any other communications, Larry? Matt?
Nope, no other communications at this time.
Okay. Are there any disclosures or recusals? None. At this time, we have a discussion item number one, a report of the CDA Finance Subcommittee.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'll do that. This is Mary. We had a finance committee meeting on November 14th and reviewed third quarter financial reports for the CDA Housing Authority and the Redevelopment Authority. I guess the main note is the CDA continues to have very strong cash balances. The last audit, you know, we had over 13 million in cash balances, so that's important to keep in mind. Most of the properties have high occupancy rates, and they're performing favorable to the budget. And also reviewed the 2025 budgets for the redevelopment properties. We have a few properties that have had higher turnover rates that have affected the budgets, but this has allowed us for some needed rehab of some of those units. The big issue, which we're going to address in subsequent agenda items, is Revival Ridge. That needs to be refinanced over the next 6 months and probably transferred to MRCDC to maintain the affordability of the project. The 15-year limit has termed out. And so we're going to be dealing with that here in the next one of the next agenda items. The triangle will hopefully break ground for the first building in spring of 25. This and the Park Badger, as we know, those two developments are the key things that we're focusing on here as a CDA and MRCDC. Just want to remind folks that MRCDC is a component subsidiary of the CDA and is owned by the CDA. Greg, do you want to add anything?
No, it was thorough and well presented and efficient.
Okay, I just want to lastly thank Anne. These are very complicated government financial statements that she's got to pull together every quarter. And I just want to thank her for all her hard work on these financial reports.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you, Anne, and the committee members for all your work on this. It seems like we're in a good position. And I know this takes a lot of work and due diligence. So we really appreciate that. There are no other questions from the commissioners. We'll move to resolution number 4632.
Commissioner Gray has his hand raised.
Oh, go ahead, Commissioner Gray.
Pat, I just wanted to also thank the Finance Committee for all their hard work on this, as well as CDA. I also wanted to ask a question because I'm still kind of trying to understand the financial piece of this a little bit. Do we have one chief executive financial officer who kind of controls the line of credit and CDA, or is it various individuals?
So we have a unit in CDA that both Anne and Lisa sort of are on that side of things, working on financials, but we also have all of the support from the city's finance department, who backs us up on all of those things. So it is across multiple people looking at our finances.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. At this time, we're looking at the approval of the 2025 CDA Redevelopment Authority property budgets. What's the process for that, Matt?
Yep. So these were reviewed at the finance subcommittee last week. So it's just like any resolution. If there's questions, we can take them. Otherwise, you can just take them as a regular motion for approval.
Are there any questions related to the redevelopment budget? If they're not, I'd like a motion and a second for approval.
I move to approve.
Who made the motion?
Greg.
Oh, Greg, yes. Is there a second?
Commissioner Gray, second.
It's been moved and seconded that resolution numbers 4632 be approved, and we'll consider this to be a unanimous vote unless there are any objections. In nine, motion approved. Next item is CDA resolution 4634. Related to Allied Drive redevelopment.
So as Mary mentioned, we've hit the end of the 15-year compliance period for our property on Allied Drive. So we have to go through the steps to unwind the LLC and transfer the property most likely over to MRCDC. We do have a loan though that's due on it. So Johnson Bank has agreed to just extend it for a short period of time as we work through that process of unwinding the property to transfer it out of the LLC.
Oh, okay. An amount of $617,301. That's the loan amount?
Yep, of the Johnson Bank loan that would otherwise be due.
Are there any questions about this? If not, I'd like a motion and a second for approval on the 4634 related to the bank loan extension.
Move for approval, Ardenax.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded resolution number 4634 be approved. Unless there are any objections, we'll consider this to be a unanimous vote. Hearing none, motion approved. Next item is CDA resolution 4631 about the personal sale agreement on this land and improvements of Braxton Place and Brigham Apartments.
Yep. So This is a companion resolution to one that was passed by MRCDC about 20 minutes ago. Because we are developing the triangle through MRCDC, in order for MRCDC to go and apply for tax credits and all of the various things they have to do, they need site control of the properties where B2 and B3 would be built. So what this does is it transfers over that site control to MRCDC for the purposes of applying for tax credits.
Okay. That sounds pretty straightforward. Are there questions related to this resolution? If not, I'd like a motion and a second for approval of this resolution.
I move for approval, Ordinance.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the resolution 4631 be approved, and we'll consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objections. Hearing none, motion approved. Our next item is the Redevelopment Master Plan, Resolution 4633.
So last month, you had a presentation from our development team at Park Badger that really went over the site plan and why the buildings are laying out the way that they are. So the item that you have in front of you is to actually adopt the master plan that lays out really kind of what we're going to do. And there'll be a companion resolution to this that'll be approved by the city of Madison. So if both entities agree that this is what we're going to do, we would move forward with, you know, full on architecture, you know, applying for tax credits, all of those sorts of things. A master plan was a requirement of the city transferring over land to the CDA and making all of the TIF funds that will pay for this available. So we have the development team here today to give a high-level overview of the document that is attached to the resolution. So Adam, I will hand it over to you.
Yes, and if I can share my screen, I will. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's start from the beginning. And yes, as Matt was saying, we were in front of you last month. We talked about the site plan and how we came to the structure of the site plan. We also talked heavily about the public engagement process that we went through. I have up for you again the redevelopment team. I'm Adam Winkler. I'm with the Alexander Company, lead developer. Here tonight with me, I have our co-developer, Captain Zinc. I believe Jeff Mack is on, and Gerardo Jimenez. And from Potter, we have Jacob Morrison, and I believe Doug Hirsch is on as well. And so first, I'm just going to walk you through the financing. So as Matt said, once we have the master plan, we're going to start working on our tax credits. We talked briefly, I think, about this last month, that we're going to be going for the 4% federal tax credit. That is a lot of the times called the non-competitive tax credit through WEDA. We did, I believe the question was asked about 9% deal last time, and this project is too large for a 9% deal. Typically, you're going to see 9% deals, 75 units or less. We could go for the state LIHTC credit, but with doing that, we'd be competing against the triangle for the state credit award. And just by going with the 4% federal tax credit without the states or the doing the 9%, we're a little more flexible in the design of the timeline for the project. And with 4% deals, you have to have 50% of the project at least financed through tax-exempt bonds. Right now, we're preliminarily looking at having WEDA be the issuer and the lender on the project, because there are other funding sources such as the housing trust fund credits or housing trust funds that can come with that. But we are also looking at, there are a couple other options of direct placement and public placement. As our numbers develop, we'll be looking at those as well, just to make sure that we are doing what works best for the project. As mentioned last time, we are doing 100% affordable for the first phase. So just a reminder, the first phase is the 8-story building on Park and Badger with a PHMDC on the first and second level. And then there is a 5-story building behind that that will have the fire station on the first and second floor. We're looking at doing what they call income averaging. Typically on LIHTC deals, you'll see either 40 at 60% or 20 at 50%, meaning that you can only really go up to at the most 60% AMIs. But if we do income averaging, we can capture a little bit more of the market at 70% AMIs to broaden that affordable range. I can't read that right there. And just to give you an idea of an example, is one person at 30% AMI, that would be $708 a month for rent, all the way to, if it's at 70% for one person AMI, that would be $1,653, which is the rent limit. Kind of a reminder, I just talked about buildings A and B. Building A, the 8-story, we're looking to do as individuals and smaller families. And building B as seniors. And then if you recall, there would be a second phase of this project that will occur after the first phase that we're looking more to do larger families. And we're looking at, we'll also look at different possible home ownership programs for that. In addition to the LIHTC credits and the bonds, as we develop our plans, we are researching different sustainability measures for the project, which includes solar and the possible use of geothermal. So we might be able to layer in some sustainability sources of funds, such as the 45L credits and alternate energy credits. And I'll walk you through the implementation plan. So we're assuming that the master planning is complete in the fourth quarter of 2024, or most likely December. In December, there has been an RFP issued for a general contractor slash construction manager for the project. And we expect the GC or construction manager to be chosen in December of this year. Once we're done with the master planning, like this is, we're in the schematic phase right now of the project, we'll start rolling right into the design plans to construction documents. So that will take a majority or all of next year, probably into the first part of first quarter of 2026. In quarter two of next year, we'll see the demolition of the buildings 810 and 818 West Badger. We'll see that completed. And at the same time, or right around the same time, we'll be doing a neighborhood meeting prior to starting the entitlement process for the project. Entitlements will go from Q2 of 2025 through the end of the year. And then as we get towards the end of the year, as the construction documents are progressing, we'll get to a point where we can solicit bids from qualified contractors for the trades for the project. So we'll work with our construction manager, general contractor on that. And we'll roll into Q1 of 2026, where we're going to start finalizing the equity and debt pieces. And hopefully if everything goes as according to plan, quarter two, 2026, or probably spring 2026, we'll see phase one construction started for the project. And we see this as being roughly a 2-year construction window. So we'll get through construction sometime in 2028, and then we'll start planning for the last phase of the project.
So question,
yeah.
Was direct, there was something you had on about direct financing. And then the other question I had to do with what are the entitlements you're talking about?
Well, so there's direct placement. So WIDA will issue the bonds. WIDA can be the issuer and the lender on the bonds, but there's also programs where you can do a direct placement where you have WIDA being the issuer, but a bank will come in and buy the bonds. And so it's a little bit different program than having WIDA be the lender as well. You don't get the additional WIDA sources like the housing trust funds if you go that route, but there could be some differences in rates that make the products attractive. And okay. Your second question was?
What are meant by entitlements?
Oh, entitlements. So that's going through the whole process. So UDC, Plan Commission, Common Council for the plans. And we'll also have to do a CSM. We're going to have a condo plat on the project. So there will be different city meetings that we'll need to go through in order to get us to a point where we can submit for our site plan review.
Okay. Some of the language that you're using is not familiar with me, but I understand. Oops. Are there a particular question from commissioners on this presentation for the presenter?
Commissioner Strickland has her hand raised.
Go ahead, Commissioner Strickland.
Yeah, Adam, you talked about the later phase being home ownership, possible home ownership. Are you talking about condos in the building, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, I think that if we did home ownership, it would have to be some sort of condo regime over it in order to be able to sell the units. But it's really, we're kind of really early in the process of looking at that. We haven't totally vetted that, what would all go into that, but most likely there would be a condo plat at some point.
Okay. And secondly, do you know if these munis, the bond issues, would they be double exempt or single exempt?
I think they're single exempt.
Okay, thank you.
And if you do the condo option, how are you going to deal with it? Is the affordability going to be the same thing, or is it going to be something different?
That's something we're going to have to look into, how we make the project affordable for home ownership. So we're still really early in that process.
Yeah, I think that's a very important one. We have to figure out how A goes into B. Otherwise, you end up with a scale where some people, it's like, I can't climb that scale. It won't work. And so then we don't get people to move to make that next leap.
Absolutely.
Anyone else got any questions related to this presentation?
Alder Knox has his hand raised.
Alder Knox, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess one of my questions is, after the master plan, as we move through your agenda, will there still be some opportunities for design changes, particularly as it relates to the major issue for the community involved, which was the height?
So I think that through the master planning, we've really that sort of set the density and height. And I think that once we start rolling into the design phase, it's more of issues of what's the building actually going to look like.
Okay. Yeah, because that's one of the things that we've had some engaging meetings, and I think you guys have done a really good job of accommodating most of the issues that were discussed. I think the little hitch was that 8 stories, you know, the mass or scale of the 8 stories relative to the other parts of the project, which goes down to 5. And I know you guys have provided some information on issues related to cost, the tax credits. Now that you know what you're applying for, we just wanted to know if there was any flexibility in that key issue.
Yeah, and I think that our plan would be to move forward with the 8 stories. Now, there are certain design things we can do, and Jacob could maybe talk a little bit more about that, how we work with the massing of the building. Mm-hmm. But really, what we're working with is the 8 stories at this point.
All right. And then I'm glad that Chair Gilmore asked the question about the entitlements, because you still have to go through UDC, Plan Commission, and Common Council, all of those phases as well, correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else asking the questions?
Commissioner Gray has his hand raised.
Commissioner Gray, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. So thank you, Mr. Winkler, again for this presentation and providing some insight here. And and I think one of the concerns I think that I just kind of talked about at the last meeting is that, you know, we had a series of town halls and individuals from the community really coming out and talking about one of the things that they didn't want to see was like a tower in their communities. And so I just kind of, you know, I know you guys are going to do a great job of doing the things that you guys are good at, but it just seems like a slap in the face to this community that you present this towering figure, like 8 stories in this community. And I'm clearly hearing you now saying, look, we're sticking to this. There's no way around this. Like, and then I think you even add a health and human services department to this, which I don't even recall that being a part of the initial discussion. So it just seems like this project is taking on a life of its own. And
I want to say we definitely heard from some people in the community that height was a concern, but I will say, like, in the last noon meeting we had, the first person said, this building's too tall. The second person said, I actually wish it was a little bit taller. So I don't want to make it seem like we had universal anything. I think whatever opinion we heard, there was always someone who had the opposite opinion. And I think what the team really tried to do was to balance those things. So that's why the whole site is not 8 stories. It goes from 8 stories on one end down to 2 stories on the other to kind of taper down to the neighborhood. But it's definitely a balance that they're trying to strike.
And I think part of that, I don't know if you can explain it, when you talk about the mass that you have to have, most of us who are not engineers don't understand that. And so I think that clearly you can say why that's required and understood. I think that makes more sense. If you could address that a little bit, I think that would also be helpful.
So we're planning on doing post-tension, which I believe we talked about a little bit last time. And really, you do that for buildings that are 6 stories or more, because once you get over 5 stories, you can't do stick frame. So it's right. Kind of like, well, I'm sorry, what was that?
I said that makes sense.
Yep. So that's kind of how we landed where we were. We're like, okay, we're going to do post tension. It's already sitting on top of the parking garage, which is post tension. It makes sense to do this post tension. The building behind it will do a stick frame over a podium, which just kind of made sense as we're talking about how we wanted to taper down to the neighborhood.
So it goes 8-5-2. Is that the progression?
So 8-5, and I guess the fire station would probably be 2 stories. Is that correct, Jacob? Would you?
Yeah, it's about 2 stories. So it's technically just 1 story inside because that's where the fire trucks are and it's really tall. But from the outside, it would be a little bit shorter or no higher than a 2-story building on that end.
Okay. Yeah, so we have some steps to go here. Other questions from commissioners?
Alder Knox has his hand raised.
Go ahead, Alder Knox.
Just a couple of things. Number one, on the point that you made, Matt, it's individuals who do not live in the Burroughs neighborhood who were talking about they were fine with it being at a higher height. I just want to make that point. You have other people that were weighing in that did not live in the immediate affected neighborhood. So I just want to make that clear. It was pretty unanimous for those Burroughs residents of not wanting anything over 6 stories. You know, in their immediate area, which matches what's there right now. But maybe you could provide some insight too, because I have the same question. I'm on the city council for the last 2 years, At what point did it become this decision to have the public health facility in this project? I don't recall anything from the city council saying, but then you have Dane County. Can you kind of give me a little feedback on that piece? Was that a decision that was made prior to, or at what point?
Yep. So it was part of the 2024 budget process. Mm-hmm. So we'd spent a lot of 2023 working with fire, with police, and with public health on mapping out their space needs and also their sort of geographic limits as to what they're going to do. So we had looked at options for public health to stay at Village on Park and do a growth or expansion there. We looked at this site because we had control of it. And we looked at all the different configurations with those agencies. And then as a staff team, it made the most sense for them to these particular pieces to come together, because public health redeveloping at Village on Park just wasn't fitting. And we had a very hard time parking public health because they have a pretty significant parking need for both employees and for patients that was just going to be difficult to do on that site. So then when we came through the 2024 budget process and gave presentations, we didn't have all of the details, but it was sort of packaged that these things would come together here, and then police and police evidence facility would be going to the town hall site. And then when the city and the CDA passed a resolution directing us to run to basically hand site control over to the CDA and run an RFP to go find a team to develop it, it laid out that these things would go together. And so the condition that the city put on the CDA was that we had to come back with a master plan that sort of showed we could fit it and how many affordable units you'd be able to do and that sort of thing. So that's where we are today, is responding to that resolution that was passed by the city, asking for this sort of feasibility study.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember a lot of the discussions regarding the police department and the fire department, for sure. And it was my understanding, I guess my question, and I don't know what, and it was kind of hard when you have these city county, you know, kind of decision making, but from someone who's been with the county for over 17 years, and it was always the public health portion, particularly before the merger and then afterwards, they were more decentralized, trying mm-hmm. to provide services in the affected areas of the city where they were needed. So now it sounds like it's kind of changing to, why do they need all that at one site, as opposed to continuing to provide those services like Joining Forces for Families does in different parts of the city and different parts of the county, actually, you know, to be honest. I'm just wondering when that, I don't remember Janelle coming forward with that proposal that they're changing to centralized services for public health versus decentralization. I mean, it all showed up when this proposal, you know, came under CDA that, oh, this building is going to have, you know, we're going to move from over where the current, you know, administrative offices are until, you know, something more comprehensive.
I won't pretend to know how they came up with what's their ideal service delivery mm-hmm. model. I will mm-hmm. say that throughout the last 5 years, where a lot of their growth has been on mm-hmm. the south side mm-hmm. at the site at Village on Park. And then some of their facilities at the city county building, I think, are hitting kind of the end of their useful life. But as part of this process, the team met with them quite a bit to sort of map out exactly what their needs were, which is how they got to the 33,000 square feet here, which is only slightly larger than where we were when we put out the RFP a year ago. So I think engineering facilities had been working with them for a while to kind of get a sense of what their needs would be on the site. But we can certainly, get more information from public health. That's helpful.
And I'll be the first one to admit I retired in 2018. So sounds like most of this new, where are we going, probably start happening between there and 2023 when
sure.
I came back on board. Thanks.
My clarification, are the lower two floors, is there going to be six floors above the two floors for this expansion, or are they going to be in different spots? You got the, we had the 8, 5, 2. So I just need to know on the lower levels, are we going to have all residents, or are there going to be something else in those two floors? And then the other six floors would be for the people to be renters.
I can answer that. So the building tower, building 1A, the one that's closest to Park Street,
right.
The public health of Madison Dane County will occupy the entire first floor and maybe a third of the second floor. And then the remainder of the second floor will be residential, and everything above it will be residential. And where the fire station is in 1B, the fire station will occupy pretty much most of the first and second floors. It's a smaller footprint. And then residential will be on 3, 4, and 5.
So how many residential slots will we have total from this collaboration?
In phase one, there will be approximately 222 or 3, I think.
You still there?
Yeah, that's at phase one. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so phase one will be approximately 225.
In both buildings?
Yeah, in 1A and 1B combined. 1A, okay. The one that's close to Park Street, is 183, okay. Approximately. And then the one with the fire station is approximately 50 or 51.
So I think in that case, we have to put in the context that those floors below, that accounts for the increase in the building size, because you have to accommodate those in order to put the residents there. And that, I think, makes some sense. If we think about it totally, why is it only 8 floors? But it's not all 8 floors of residence. It's also 8 floors, including some public services, correct?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of looking at it, and a good handle on it.
Yeah, okay. Just want to kind of get the lay of the land there. Are there other questions from commissioners?
Commissioner Gray and Alder Knox both have their hands up.
Okay, Commissioner Gray, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Gilmore. Hey, I just want to go back. Were you aware that they actually was building this church, Children Family Services, as part of this project, or?
I was aware that their public health was looking at this option, because they, they cannot do what they need to do in the current space. So I wasn't part of the decision process relative to doing that, but I knew that they were looking to be in this building in some place, and so that's what the early discussions were. About okay, having them come into their space.
Yeah, thank you. Because I know there was a lot of discussion around having a daycare center. I just kind of wish we would have probably had more information to maybe add some more concerns relevant to what the residents' concerns were before we got to this point. Now, I know that we're at this point. Certainly, my support is going to be for this project to be successful under the circumstances. But I just see this happen all so often when these, developers come into the communities and the neighborhoods and, things kind of change. And so all these other meetings that have taken place, Mr. Waits, I just think you have to do a better job of giving us more information relevant to these processes, so we can be more aware of how to understand how this stuff works.
Yeah, Commissioner Gray. Yeah, Commissioner Gray, I just want to say some decision to move public health into the project is one decision. You don't know at the time the implications of that decision in terms of height, because the project hasn't been conceived in that to that detail yet. So you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're really not going to always know what potential implication this decision is going to have relative to the when you add the housing and the scale and the design and all of that. So it's just one of those things that you don't have all that information at that time.
Thank you, Commissioner Knox. And that's what breaks my heart about this process. Like, we go to these hearings, we hear people express what they want to see happen in their communities, and there's all these other different pieces. And, you know, that's just my frustration. And I get what we're saying here, and I'm with this, and wish, you know, that this is a successful project. I just feel like I just got to be more aware of some of the dynamics that takes place after we have kind of thought about some of the other stuff that's happening in these communities, which we do not live in, by the way. I mean, most of the engineers and developers who are building things in these communities, if they're not listening to the residents of their community, that's just kind of, that's a frustrating piece for me as a commissioner. But I get it, and I value and respect everyone's position on this. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other comments?
Yeah, my only other comment is, you know, I think the they've done a good job at, you know, listening to what those concerns are. You're not going to always get everything that you want, you know, on any project. We know that's true. I just think people need to realize that no matter what the project is, you're going to have people who don't live in that affected neighborhood weighing in with what they think is best for that community, for those residents. And so and that's the thing that I think people, it's a public project, so anybody can weigh in with their opinion, regardless of whether they're going to be immediately affected by that or not. So those are the things that I represent as an alder, those residents that live in that immediate affected area. And sometimes it's a little frustrating to hear other communities weigh in on our, you know, on an area that they're going to be marginally, you know what I mean, impacted mm-hmm. by.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Chair Gilmore,
yeah.
I did want to point out that Joanna Rouse was registered. Her name did not come up when I had run the report. And when I just generated it a little bit ago, Joanna Rouse came up on the public registrants report, and then she did join the meeting and now has her hand raised. So she is registered to speak neither in support nor opposition of item number 6, which is resolution 4633. But she does have her hand raised.
Okay, so she wished to offer comments on this item for public comment.
Yes, and I don't. Hi, this is Joanna, and I hope I unmuted myself correctly. And I'm not sure if this is the right time to speak about this or not. So if it isn't, I'm happy to wait.
What is the item you want to address?
Well, I just wanted to talk about this particular project with at the corner of Badger and Park Street. And so just wondering if this is the appropriate time to do that.
If you have comments, you can go ahead and make them.
You have
3 minutes on that.
Okay, thanks so much. My name is Joanna Rouse. For those of you who don't know me, we have been in the community right across from the fire station. We have 40 units called Fountain Court Apartments. And also we have our main office for our company, Rouse. And so we are very vested in this particular neighborhood. We love this neighborhood. We are excited about this development. And Jeff, who I've been corresponding with via email from the city, has been very helpful in providing more details about the project. And so with that in mind, I'm supportive of affordable housing, of course. I think it's much needed. I understand the fire department needing more space. And so with that and with public health, you know, I'm concerned about that taking up 2 floors of the 8-unit building, and then the height of that building. I would say my two main concerns after, you know, kind of going through everything is the eight stories. I think it needs to be less. And I've looked at, you know, the buildings around that area. That would be the tallest building in that area. And I'm worried that it's not going to blend in and support the surrounding architecture. The other thing that I'm very concerned about is the parking. We are very tight at our property for parking. Madison College is very tight. And I know we've got the parking ramp across the street that they're building, which will be very helpful. But when I drove by Public Health and the Villager Mall on a, you know, normal weekday during office hours, that parking lot is full. So it is very, very tight. And so I'm hoping to support this project. I want to support it, but I do think, you know, the stories, the eight stories is just too tall. And I think there should be, you know, affordable housing should be the first and foremost. We need it. We are in the business of the apartment industry as well. We see it every day. And the parking, how will that be handled? Because there's no above street parking on that particular site. And I understand you have underground parking, but yeah, I'm not quite sure how it's all going to work out. I appreciate your time and willingness to listen to my concerns.
Well, thank you for your comments. I don't know, we can add that relative for the record. Matt, is there anything we want to comment on that or just leave it for our record for now?
No, this is recorded, so it's part of the record now.
Okay. Well, thank you for those comments. Are there any other comments on this resolution before we move for approval? Here not, I'll ask for a motion and a second for the resolution 4633.
I move for approval to Sergeant Knox.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Resolution 4633 be approved, and we'll consider this to be a unanimous vote unless there are any objections. Hearing none, motion approved. Thank you all for participating in that. We have one last item, and that is report on housing authority. Mr. Lehrer, are you going to do this report for us?
Yeah, I was hoping Matt would take it, but no, I got it. Good evening. So looking at the two documents that were sent out ahead of time, numbers are lining up with what we've been seeing over the last number of months, all in the positive direction. Looking at the Section 8 report, you can see for October, we are at 92% voucher utilization. And in terms of dollars that we're utilizing from the budget, we are starting to see kind of that reduction that we've been hoping for since we are at 122% of the budget. Again, we've had a lot of reserve funds that we've been able to tap into to make sure that we're able to meet those obligations. And we're working with HUD to get any additional funds that'll help make sure that that we're able to meet those obligations by the end of the year. On the mainstream voucher program, you see that towards the bottom of the sheet, kind of in that lavender color, we have 55 of our 59 vouchers are utilized. And then for the emergency housing voucher program, we have 64 of the 69 vouchers utilized. Again, on the emergency housing voucher program, we've been oversubscribed. You can see earlier in the year, we were in the lower 70s, 69 vouchers. We were issuing 73, 72, 70. So we are now wanting to be under that 69 number because we've spent more money on the front end. So we're able to kind of even out by the end of the year. So we've been in communication with HUD on all of these programs just to make sure that our budgets are where they need to be so that we're not way over or way under budget by the end of the year. And everything that we've heard from our HUD field staff is that they're pretty satisfied with where we're at in the voucher program. Looking at the other report, 2024 occupancy report. You can see our September numbers are continuing to kind of hover around that 98% goal, 98.5% goal for all of our properties. As I mentioned on prior calls, we successfully hit 98.3% occupancy last month for our portfolio, which was very, very exciting. It's a percentage that we've been striving for, and through significant efforts from our admissions and eligibility team, pulling people off of waiting lists, as well as our property management team, getting units turned over, ready to be occupied, and property managers showing and leasing those units up. It's been a significant effort from about 60% of our staff focused on getting people through that process and housed. So between the two programs, Section 8 and public housing, our entire staff has been working very, very hard this year to utilize the vouchers that we have and occupy the units that we have. Those are the only two reports that I have for tonight.
Well, thank you. Any questions for Larry on this report? Well, thank you, Larry. I really appreciate that. And you guys have done a really good job. And again, we really appreciate your work that you have done here and your contribution to our community and to helping our residents. So wish you the best in your endeavors and enjoy your return to the good old Brew City.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Commissioner Gray has his hand raised.
Commissioner Gray, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. Larry, just wanted to echo the same sentiments that the chairman just pointed out. Certainly working with you and knowing your commitment and your devotion to CDA as well as the residents of this community, as well as working with me as well. Certainly my relationship with you, I will certainly value and cherish it. And certainly I wish you all the best as you move on to bigger and better things. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been great. As I mentioned prior, it's been great working with our entire board. And I know Commissioner Gray, we've gotten probably to spend the most time of any other board member, just in terms of the amount of energy and efforts at the Triangle. So it's been great, great to work with you as well, Commissioner Gray.
Thank you. Matt, any other items for the good of the order?
Nope, that is everything.
All right. Thank you all. I'd like to have a motion for adjournment, please.
I make a motion to adjourn, Commissioner Gray.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we are now in adjournment. Thank you all very much and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.